Up next is a replay of Sunday, April 2nd, Sunday service, with music from Kaylin and the worship team and a message from Pastor Ripley. Please enjoy and God bless.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see your faces. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm just going to read this morning from Luke 19, verse 28. I'm sure most of you know that it's Palm Sunday today, and it's a celebration of Jesus riding into Jerusalem as the proclaimed king. And so I'll just read to you here. Yeah, Luke 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Hey, why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus and threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, down from the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He said, 'I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" And isn't that what we were created for? To proclaim Jesus as our King and to worship him and glorify him. And, you know, I just want to share with you, a couple of weeks ago at work, someone was telling me about something good that had happened in their lives, and I was just about to blurt out, "Oh, praise the Lord," but because it's a very secular setting, I held back. And afterwards, I asked the Lord to forgive me for that, you know, and I repented of that, because immediately that scripture came to my mind. If we won't praise him, the rocks will cry out, and I would not want a rock to take my place. I would so much rather be the one to proclaim Jesus. And so let's just pray together and ask the Lord to bless our time here. Jesus, we just say you are the King of glory. You are the Lord of hosts. And you are the one who we exalt today, Lord. I just want to thank you so much that you are the one who brought freedom and salvation, Lord, to all people. Lord, to all people. And Lord, that you are the Passover Lamb. You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Lord, because of that, we stand in freedom today. We exalt you and we lift our hands before you and we glorify you, Lord, because you are worthy of praise from beginning to end, Lord. All of eternity, you are worthy of praise. Lord, we just ask that you would come and inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, as we worship you in spirit and in truth, oh God, would you dwell in our midst, I pray. Lord, be glorified. And I just pray, Lord, that our praises to you would ring out from generation to generation to generation, Lord, that it would be an echo that never ends, Lord God. And that one day, when we stand before your throne, Lord, with every nation and every tribe and every tongue worshiping you, the King of all kings, Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would be so glorified. I just thank you, Lord. Just come and cover us with your wings, Lord. Dwell in our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Hymn Sing Sunday. We'll be singing some old hymns this morning. Would you please stand for the singing of Leaning on the Everlasting Arms?
What a fellowship, what a joy.
standing on the promises. We are, aren't we, standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises I cannot find. Be seated this morning. How many enjoyed singing those hymns? How many enjoyed singing those hymns? Once in a while, it's good to sing some of these hymns that many of us grew up with. Thank you, musicians. Kids' church today, children's church today. We can let all the little ones make their way to children's church. All the little ones can make their way to children's church. All the adults, please stay upstairs. Today is Palm Sunday. And many refer to this week as a holy week. A holy week. Let me just go through some of the things that happened from Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday. On Friday, Jesus arrives in Bethany, and Mary anoints Jesus. Do you remember the disciples got upset because she broke an alabaster jar of oil, and it was worth so much, it could have been given to the poor. But Jesus said, let her do it, for she is anointing me for burial. On Sunday, Jesus enters Jerusalem. On Monday, Jesus curses the fig tree. He cleanses the temple. He returns to Bethany with the 12. on Tuesday, the disciples see the withered tree on the return to Jerusalem. The Olivet Discourse on the return to Bethany. On Wednesday, Jesus continues daily teaching in the temple. How many know that Jesus continued his ministry even to the end? Even to the end. The Sanhedrin on Wednesday begin their plotting to kill Jesus. On Wednesday and Thursdays, there are preparations for the Passover. The Passover and the Last Supper that we celebrate so many times, that we're going to do on Friday, what we refer to as communion. We see the upper room discourse and Jesus prays in Gethsemane. Do you remember his prayer? Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. And the Bible says he prayed in such agony that his sweat became as drops of blood. As he began to look towards his crucifixion, that he would carry upon himself the sins of the world. Your sin, my sin, he would carry upon himself. On Friday, he is betrayed by Judas. The greatest betrayal in human history. Judas, who walked with Jesus, saw the miracles that Jesus performed, and yet he betrayed the Son of the living God. There was a Jewish trial before Annas, before Caiaphas, before the full Sanhedrin. Tell us, if you truly are the Son of the living God. He had a trial before Pilate, before Herod, and then again before Pilate again. He was condemned, and the crowds screamed out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" He was stripped and beaten, whipped and tortured. He was forced to carry his cross until someone was picked out of the crowd to help him. I don't think we fully comprehend the fullness of the sufferings of Christ as he walked towards his ultimate death and crucifixion. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have everlasting life this morning. His crucifixion was on Friday. On Sunday, they went to the tomb. Mary first, the disciples after, and they found it to be empty. And an angel standing there saying, "Who are you looking for? For he is risen." He is risen. Friends, this morning, we serve the resurrected Christ. Can somebody shout amen this morning? We serve the resurrected Christ. I think it's important to remember the things that happened between Sunday and the following Sunday that we refer to as Resurrection Sunday. Why do Christians meet on Sunday instead of Saturday? Because we are here today once again to celebrate his resurrection. Hallelujah. He lives forevermore. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 21. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn there with me. We have surveyed the week, what we refer to as the Holy Week, as we prepare for Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Verses 1 to 11 is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And Jesus, as Sylvia read, Jesus displays his authority as the Messiah, the coming one, the chosen one, the anointed one. Friends, I'm thankful this morning for Jesus Christ. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." You know, in all Scripture, there are points which endeavor to minister to each and every one of us. Every verse, every line, line upon line. And this verse speaks to me so loudly in volumes that God always has a plan. Someone was trying to tell me one time through what I refer to as a foolish doctrine that you can surprise God. I'm serious. A leader in our own denomination was trying to convince me that you can surprise God. Glory to God. You can never surprise God. I don't care what the devil has up his sleeve. I don't care which direction you take. You will never, 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 never surprise God. He always has a plan. He's always way ahead of you. Oh, I didn't know. Can you imagine Jesus saying to the Father, "I didn't know they were going to do that"? God always has a plan. I don't care what you are going through in life. If you'll look to God and his plan, he'll bring you through. He's never caught off guard. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He's always awake, watching over you. Watching over your situations and circumstances. All you've got to do is put your hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus and let him lead you. Oh, glory to God. Let him lead you and guide you and direct you. Stop depending on yourself. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to get through this morning. I feel so excited. I know the aisles are open. It's almost like a runway, brother. A holy runway. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord, the sovereign orchestrator of all things, needs them. And he will send them at once. You know, ultimately, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, which is an open declaration that Jesus is the righteous Davidic Messiah. Saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming in a Cadillac. Your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. You know, Jesus left everything in heaven and took on the form of a servant and humbled himself even to the humility of the cross. Jesus wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a stable. Do you know that God was satisfied with the tabernacle? The humility of the tabernacle and how it was built as they traveled through the desert, he was happy with that. It came into the heart of David to build a temple, but God was satisfied in the tabernacle. Every aspect of the tabernacle and how it was built speaks of humility. The simplicity of all that the tabernacle was and is. And here, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes not in a chariot with hundreds of people ahead of him, but he comes on the foal of a donkey. The mother and the young donkey together. And there's Jesus riding in humility. Friends, that's got to speak to us this morning. That's got to say something today to us and each and every one of us today in the name of Jesus. He who humbles himself will be exalted, but he who exalts himself shall be humbled. Amen. Humility is a lost art today, even in our own society. To brag is to build oneself up. To be humble is to give glory to God, to magnify his name. The disciples, verse 6, went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. And most of the crowd spread their cloaks, which symbolized the crowd's submission to Jesus as the king. Are we willing to submit to Christ as our king this morning? In charge, leading us and guiding us and directing us. The branches symbolized Jewish nationalism and victory. They were connected with prominent Jewish victories throughout history. And with the Festival of Tabernacles, palm motifs were common on both Jewish coinage and synagogue decoration. There they were, spreading their cloaks, the palms branches before him as he was led on that donkey through the streets of Jerusalem. Oh, what a sight to see, folks. What a sight to see. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Friends, that's what we need to be shouting this morning. Because where two or three come together in his name, there he is in the midst. Where two or three come together in his name, there he is in the midst. Hallelujah. He is our Messiah. Praise the name of Jesus. He is our King. He is the resurrected one. He is our Savior. And as Sylvia so wonderfully proclaimed today, we are not going to let the rocks cry out. The word Hosanna in the original language means, oh, save. It's a divine declaration that Jesus is the Davidic Messiah. A note of praise unto God. Praise the Lord. Friends, we have the awesome responsibility this morning and privilege to praise the resurrected King even this morning. Can you lift your hands in this house and just give a shout of praise unto God? Hallelujah to the King of Kings, to the Prince of Peace, the Almighty One. I don't know why, not this church, but I don't know why people are so quiet in church. If you go to a hockey game, they're shouting. If you go to a concert, they're shouting. If you go to a baseball game, they're shouting when there's a home run. When someone wins the lotto, they shout. When someone catches a big fish, like I did a few falls ago, I shouted. Could barely bring it in. It was so big. It was like... I only heard my father swear once in his life. I got to take a drink of water for this. We were out fishing. My dad loved to fish. We were out fishing. And he caught this big trout. He hauled it in. And my brother and I were there. And he took it in the fin with his finger. And he lifted it up. And he said, "Look." And it was a huge trout. He said, "Look, sons. Look what I caught." And it just wiggled off and went in the water. And that was the only time I've ever heard my father curse. But we have the awesome privilege to praise his holy name this morning. Not just in church, but each and every day that we live, we have an opportunity to praise and to magnify his holy name. Some people think that praise is just a religious thing that we go through every Sunday. No, it's not. It's the Spirit of God within us that is beginning to lift those holy, awesome praises and worship unto him. Hallelujah. We were destined. We were created to praise him. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Oh, for various reasons. The Pharisees and religious leaders were afraid that somehow this action here in Jerusalem would upend their leadership. They didn't understand the plan that God had. They didn't understand all the prophecies that had been declared concerning Christ, that he had to die. The sacrifice had to be made. Only a holy, unblemished sacrifice would please the wrath of Almighty God for your sin and for my sin. It had to be a pure, unblemished sacrifice. You know, I know there's a lot of religions around the world, but there's no story like the story of Jesus. That God would send his only begotten Son to live on this earth and to bleed and die on an old Roman cross. To pay the ultimate sacrifice for your sin and my sin. That we would find salvation as we look to that sacrifice. And be born again with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Who is this? The crowd said. This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. They didn't fully comprehend the significance of all that Jesus would do. You know, there are so many religions today, as I've mentioned, that still see Jesus as only a prophet. Islam, he's just a prophet. But friends, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, when he spoke to the Pharisees and they asked him who he was, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus entered the temple, verse 12, the following day. You see, his mission was not yet completed. You can never retire spiritually. Sorry to tell you that. Until your mission is completed. All that God has called you and me to do until our very last breath. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. You know, there were two cleansings of the temple, which I find amazing. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry and here at the end of Jesus' ministry. Jesus cleansed the temple at the beginning as a warning and at the end of his ministry as a statement of judgment on the leadership of Israel. He cleared out all those who sold and bought. Pastor Raff preached on this not too very long ago. That within the temple was a sort of market where they could change their currency into the temple currency and buy a sacrifice that they could offer unto God. But it became a mess. People buying and selling and exchanging and all these things happening. The merchandising of God's people still happening in the church today. Where it's more about money than people's hearts turning to God. Jesus compares the temple and its keepers to a den of robbers. But what should be happening in the temple is found in verse 14. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. That is what should be happening in the temple. Not the merchandising of God's people, but miracles and healings and deliverances and salvation. Jesus leads by example. By ministering to the blind and the lame and the sick and the afflicted. The church is to be a hospital so people can come and their lives can be made whole again. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. Can you imagine? That's what religion does to people. That's what religion does to people. It kills the spirit. It kills the moving of the Holy Spirit. It kills the moving of the Holy Spirit. Brings judgment. What's he doing in the temple? We just saw him on the streets of Jerusalem. They were saying, "Hosanna." And here he is in the temple, healing people and delivering people. We don't want that stuff happening. We want our leadership to be lifted up, not God's. You know, when it becomes more about us than God, there's a problem. John said that I may decrease, that he may increase. That's what I'm praying a lot. Lord, that I may decrease, that you may increase. When it becomes more about you than it is about me, deflecting the glory back to God, hallelujah. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, hallelujah. They were indignant. And Jesus said to them, from Psalm 8, verse 2, he said to them, "Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?" You know what? You know what? If we won't praise him, the children will praise him. Hallelujah. If we won't open our mouth and praise him, you'll hear the little ones begin to praise him. Hallelujah. The infants praising God and declaring his majesty. Oh, hallelujah. You see, God is always going to have a people that praise him. And he doesn't care how old they are. I pray that from our midst will come a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in such power that we will see our children at the altar with their hands in the air praising the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. As a child will just say whatever is on their heart. You ever notice that? Remember Linkletter? What was his name? Linkletter? Art Linkletter, talking to kids. They say the darndest things. How many remember that show? Okay, well, we're all on the same page. And the same age. Hopefully, it's not empty, the gauge. That turns to rage. I'm going to stop there. If we won't praise him, this verse is prophetic. Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. It was the religious leaders who should have been praising him. But instead, it was the little ones. The children crying out in the temple, praise the name of the Lord. You know, Jesus needs to cleanse the temple. Us individually, we have to be cleansed. As a church body, we need to be cleansed. There needs to be a purging of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation chapter 3 says concerning the church of Laodicea, if anyone opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. I wonder how Jesus got outside. We put him outside with our commercialization of the church. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. When we're praying in the house, not necessarily the building, but when we come together and pray, we're doing exactly what Jesus said to do. Hallelujah! Let my house be a house of communication, calling out, seeking after God. He's in the streets today. He's our Messiah. He's the resurrected one. And he's here this morning. We serve a mighty God. I want to say it again. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. You serve a mighty God. Jesus moved from here to Bethany. But friends, he's here this morning by his Holy Spirit. Have you committed your life to Christ? If something were to happen to you today, are you assured of your salvation? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Because when you're born again, your spirit bears witness, or the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of the living God. Let's bow together in prayer. As every head is bowed this morning, as we have verse by verse looked at, Lord, what happened so many thousands of years ago, we've allowed, Lord, your word to speak to us. Cleanse us from pride, Father. Cleanse us from our own self-confidence. Lord, dig deep into us this morning and root out those things that are hindering the flow and the move of the Spirit of God through our lives. You are the great physician, Lord. You can take those things out one by one and cleanse us and purify us. Oh, Lord, we thank you today for the power of the Holy Spirit to change us. As every head is bowed, is there anyone here this morning in this house that would say, you know what, Pastor David, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I am not assured of my salvation. Would you lift up your hand and just say, pray for me. Is there anyone? Yes. Anyone else? You want to be sure of your salvation? Yes. How many others in this house? You want to know? Yes. I see that hand, a young person's hand. How many others in this house? Yes. I see another hand go up. You want to be assured of your salvation? You want to know for sure that you're born again of the Spirit of God. Is there anyone else that would slip up their hand? Say, just pray for me. Yes, yes. The Holy Spirit is here in this place. Father, your Holy Spirit is here in this place. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in. We'd love to see you next Sunday at Grace Christian Fellowship. God bless and have an amazing week.